This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I just saw Stugatz for the first time in about 10 days, and if I hadn't been wearing a mask because we are in Wuhan South, he would have seen me smile because I legitimately missed Stugatz, and then that lasted a couple of seconds. He points at me and rat-a-tat-tat says this by way of greeting. Points at me and says, COVID man, a new nickname he's just given me, which seems like a terrible nickname. And then the following thought he has is, you know, Jeff Bezos doesn't know any more than you or I. He's just got good people.
Yeah, he does. I mean, listen, you and I are just as smart as that man is. But when you get to his kind of wealth, his level of wealth, he is just surrounded by better people. You're surrounded by me and Cody. I mean,
all right, well,
think about that.
We'll talk to Greg Cody in a second. Bloomberg reported that Jeff Bezos made $13 billion yesterday. $13 billion yesterday. Darren Revelle is saying that that is enough for Bezos just with yesterday's money. As A-Rod and J-Lo try to scrap together enough money to buy the Mets, he could have bought the Cowboys, the Mets, and the Knicks, according to Revelle, and had $2 billion left over just on what he made yesterday. I disagree with Stugatz's contention that he doesn't know any more than you or I. He's just got better people. I don't disagree with his contention that Greg Cody and Stugatz are anchoring us down. And the reason I say this is just because of what I learned during the local hour, which was shocking and double-pronged. One, Greg Cody likes to visit cemeteries during vacation. It's one of the strangest things I've ever heard.
He's getting ready.
At Le Batard Show on Twitter. Put it on
is
the
he scouting?
advanced scouting. Well, that was shocking enough. At Le Batard Show on Twitter, is it weird to visit cemeteries during your vacation?
He's looking at retirement homes. mean.
Well, I've got so many questions, but before we get to those questions, I don't know what was weirder, because also during the local hour, Billy was shocked to learn this. Billy, I want you to tell me which one you think is weirder. We learned that Greg Cody has dispensed with bothering to shower the way normal people shower, and now he's just shampooing in the pool.
It was a weird local hour, Dan. But, you know, we also think that maybe Greg might be ahead of his time on some of this stuff. We're not exactly sure after talking it out if going into a chlorinated pool is good for shampooing, because most people shower after being in the chlorine, but he's jumping into the chlorine to shower. So, you know, long term, we'll figure out what kind of impact that has on his hair and his health. And, you know, the cemetery thing, Greg made some good points. He made some good points about the cemetery.
What you just did was accurate in the sense that you said the cemetery thing is ahead of its time. Literally, he's ahead of his time because his time...
Not too far ahead of his time.
Not too far, just a little bit ahead of his time. Yeah. So which one is weirder? Put this on the poll as well. And I'm sorry if I sound muffled. We're in the middle of it here in Miami. And I've got to get to the huge, huge international story that is Miami right now, in that right outside of this Clevelander hotel that is right now empty. We have to hit like a code and walk in through an alley. Even the guy who does temperature checks is hard to find because he's like hiding from COVID.
I couldn't get in there today.
He's hiding. He's okay. Hiding from us. He doesn't want to see anybody. Okay. But that's not the big national news, as we literally risk our lives to bring you this slop. It seems foolhardy. The big story is that I don't know how close to the Clevelander, but very close to where we get our coffee. Very close. There was a nude woman fighting. Now, Mike, you take it from here, please, because I'd like to paint the picture for people of where we work. We've told you for years, right? We used to be an afternoon show. That's when it was really crazy. We'd go out when we were on in the afternoon. We'd go outside and nobody would be dressed and everybody would be on stilts. And the most clothes anybody was wearing was paint. Like that's and marijuana smoke was just seeping into the studio. All of us would have tested positive based on just secondhand smoke from the pool, a pool that is filled or was filled with venereal disease. So with that as the context, right near that pool where we get our coffee in the morning, in what I think was a closed hotel, was it not?
No, this is across the street, not even a block away. If you can remember way back to when we had guests in the studio, every Tuesday, whenever Greg would join us in the local hour, we'd always make reference to him sauntering across the street, turning a corner from that coffee shop. And this didn't happen near the coffee shop. This happened right in front of it. You see the sign, Shepherd Coffee. This amazing fight that's gone viral. I saw the internet refer to this woman as Bimbo Slice, only wearing a thong. She fights, and she fights well.
Cody, have you seen this? Between your cemetery walks, did you notice the thing on the internet that had gone viral where you specifically get your coffee and have never seen a nude woman claimed by the internet as Bimbo Slice fighting?
I have not. No, I've never seen Bimbo Slice fighting. No, I have not seen that video, but rest assured, I'll be Googling it at the first opportunity.
Do you want to explain yourself on this cemetery thing? I don't believe it's real. I believe it's something that you made up just so that we could call you weird.
No, I've been fascinated by cemeteries my whole life. It's not an aging thing. It's more than a scouting mission for me. I'm just fascinated by graves, by tombstones, by longevity. I marvel that how short people used to live. You know, you're born in 1888 and you die in 1904. What the hell's going on?
All right, very good. So yes, the mortality.
I love cemeteries.
The mortality rate is what you're checking in on, just to feel better about how we're aging better now than we were during the bubonic plague.
I mean, he's right. That's a cup of coffee. I mean,
it is reassuring to know that I have outlived most of the people who've been dead for 100 years. You know, I take great satisfaction in that.
What goes into a good cemetery? We found your wheelhouse. This is an area of expertise that you have. We're going to come back with Greg Cody's top 10 things that go into a good cemetery in a second. But let's get back to the initial weirdness. If you're not familiar with Greg Cody's work, he's a dinosaur sports columnist hanging on to the end of his career. He's got his own podcast, the Greg Cody Show with Craig Cody, featuring Greg Cody.
Oh, why wasn't that a name? Greg Schoedi.
That should have been it. You should change it.
That's good.
He is the oldest person to hit the podcast game as he tries to reinvent himself. He's been
happy, Greg Schoedi.
He has been sick on the air and deteriorating for the better part of 28 months here. There was a tumor removed at some point in the middle of that. And he is beyond weird, okay? So lest you think him visiting cemeteries on his vacation is the strangest thing about him, can you please explain to me how you started shampooing, how you started shampooing in the pool, please?
Well, this is weird to me talking about it as if it's weird because, you know, to me it's routine, it's de rigueur, you know, it's just something I do. I augment my actual showering with dips in the pool that include shampoo on the lip of my pool. And it's a beautiful, luxurious thing because, you know, you shampoo your head and then you submerge, you hold your nose, you submerge and you shake your head. You know, you're doing a dance under the water and all of a sudden you dip your head back and you come up through the water. Your hair is all rinsed. Everything's perfect. It's a beautiful thing.
Okay,
really,
except for the part of you're covered in some sort of acid. something so strong that it keeps all of the ducks who are pooping in your pool. It keeps that water some semblance of acidic clean.
And probably urine.
Oh, and your son's urine. I don't know where in your reading of that you realized that you were still very rusty. This happens to us, okay? Mike came in here and was talking a million miles a minute. When we don't do this for a couple of days, something falls apart and a lot more mistakes than usual end up getting made. I do want to talk to you.
We did it on Thursday. I mean,
well,
Look, man, I was trying to make an excuse for your inability to retain anything while reading it. I was making an excuse for you, and you didn't let me make it because you got through that read without realizing that it was not the time you thought it was and that you were reading the wrong thing.
Well, no, I was reading the right thing. I just didn't want to blame Roy because that would cost me money. So I decided not to blame Roy, and therefore it did again, not cost me money.
Again, you realized it long after having read it is the part that's weird. You didn't notice it at any point. Do other people read this way where it's just hopping from word to word without retaining any of them?
Yes.
I don't think a whole lot of people read that way. I also don't think a whole lot of people shampoo in their pool. So put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Should you be regularly shampooing in the pool? We will get to Greg Cody's list of 10 things that make a great cemetery great. But your reaction was what? Because we did leave the air Thursday, and what ended up happening after that is that Washington Post story broke 15 claims of sexual harassment that I just found the reaction fascinating, just because we're a male-dominated world, this particular sphere where we work. The number of people who were sort of shrugging that off as if 15 sexual harassments doesn't constitute a really horrible workplace. 15 that you got to talk.
Right.
15 that actually were willing to talk about how unpleasant it was.
Why do you think it got a shrug off? I mean, first off, we've heard bits and pieces of this story before, right? This was comprehensive. This was 15 women. It deserved greater attention. I'm not sure why it didn't get it. Perhaps there are other things going on in the world
twofold.
Right now.
No, it was twofold, I thought. One, there was a buildup of expectation, which you normally do not have with a story, and that buildup included more salacious details that had just, you know, it was the internet rumor mongering on right. stuff that wasn't accurate, couldn't be vetted, couldn't be used journalistically, but so the story expectation would be that it would be debaucherous orgy type of behavior fueled by drugs and stuff, and that's not what the report was. The other element here, though, is I do believe male entitlement is still something that exists, and we're not that far removed from it being a totally normal thing to be able to just ask women out who badger them in a sexual harassment way. I'm sure I could find law offices all over Miami where I would still find that kind of machismo soaking a workplace.
To Sugatz's point, though, this isn't the first time we've heard something about this. There was a New York Times article in 2018 that chronicled a 2013 Costa Rican photo shoot for a calendar in which the Redskins invited spectators, although I shouldn't probably call them
sponsors.
That team name.
Spectators,
according to the story, and sponsors, and cheerleaders are quoted saying they felt pressured to take part in stuff. So there were elements of this that we've read before, and this was more closer to the height of the Me Too movement, and Washington sort of got away with it, for lack of a better phrase.
The thing that I found interesting about it is this particular thing that I'm going to put in front of you, because I think a lot of us understand that many of these cavemen workplaces dominated by men, you give men absolute power and you will find yourself corrupted. Absolutely. Our entitlement and the way men behave with power is something that's perpetually flabbergasting and never surprising. And I don't know why women let us run the world, because look what we do to it. And so we end up in this position where I think many men in the audience, I don't believe I'm creating a straw man here, react to that story with a sort of what's the big deal. I don't know if it's the majority or not. I just know that a lot of people react that way. Not the part that I found interesting. The part that I found interesting is this. The NFL allowed Washington to retain its own attorneys for the investigation. It's not doing what it did with Bounty Gate. It's not doing what it did with Deflate Gate. It's handling it the way the Mavs handled a similar scandal, which is to let them handle it in-house. And on the surface, I look at that and I say, wow, that is wrong. But then you start looking a little closer and you realize that the reason they're doing that is because Deflate Gate and Bounty Gate were things that happened to the on-field product that may have affected the integrity of the results. Football does not want into these waters. Football would like this to very quietly go away. They don't want to be stripping Jerry Richardson of his team and all of a sudden he vanishes. This is outside of the jurisdiction of football, but only Stugatz because football wishes for it to be. Not because it should be,
right.
But what ends up happening there that's interesting is football is telling you, by allowing them to investigate themselves, we don't actually care about this that much. There's no other way to look at the fact that on field integrity stuff, they go after you and they take Tom Brady's damn phone on field integrity stuff. But when it comes to workplace harassment, the NFL is shrugging its shoulders and saying, we have all jurisdiction in all legal places, even above the law, but not there. Let Dan Snyder handle that one himself. Dan Snyder, who allowed that to happen on his watch, let him take care of the investigation himself. I understand why the NFL does it, but be clear on the messaging on that. The NFL is telling you, statements or not, the NFL is telling you, by not coming down on the Redskins, that's outside of our realm. That's not something we want a part of.
And Dan, it may be coincidental, but it kind of seems like everything that's happening with the naming of the team, it feels like the NFL is publicly prioritizing something by it. And all of a sudden, this name change and branding change is a bit convenient to sort of keep the other stories out of the main news stream. And we're all concerned with, hey, what's a new team name going to be?
To be honest, it's a complete disgrace. You cannot let the teams police themselves with something that is this serious to a lot of people, especially women.
Stugatz, it's telling. You should read into that what they are telling you, because it's not disguised. It's fairly obvious.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
He works for the owners, Stugatz.
I know.
The Punisher works for the owners. Like, that's not irrelevant. And he'll go after Bob Kraft, protecting the integrity of the game. The integrity of women, the integrity of your men. Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Is Sham's report that 346 NBA players were tested in the bubble and zero were positive the first hope you had that basketball might actually be able to pull this off at Lebatard Show, because nothing has felt very sports hopey, Stugatz. As they talk about the opening of the sports, there's something about all of this that feels like they're going to have to close this down again, right? We're mishandling this. We don't deserve this as a country. We've been the most terrible country as it regards this. The other countries that have gotten back to sports have been more careful. South Korea fixed their problem almost immediately, while South Florida has more positive tests in a couple of days than South Korea had as a country the entire time.
You're right. That's how it feels outside the bubble. But inside the bubble, it feels like an NBA playoff is about to happen. I mean, no one tested positive, and the people in the NBA, the players in the NBA who have tested positive, are not allowed in the bubble. And so the NBA, predictably, as everyone thought, is getting this right, at least thus far.
Well, but yes, for this day, though. But we don't know what's coming. It's all very strange. We continue to be scared. It is a super weird time. It doesn't feel like sports should be returning, even as we all understand that the money of sports is necessary for this economy where we work.
It's early, but it seems as though bubbles work. When the virus has nowhere to go, it dies. It makes me concerned for football because they're not doing the bubble, at least not yet, and they have much larger rosters, so that seems a little bit more concerning.
You guys can apologize to baseball, because I remember when baseball suggested this bubble idea, the three of you were just grinning and saying, ha, 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 how stupid a bubble. How are they going to put all the teams in a bubble? That'll never work. That's such a bad idea. No one will ever do that. And then they didn't do that because everybody laughed at them. And then basketball did that, and it seems to be working. And now baseball is just going to be traveling around the world, and everybody's going to be getting sick, and basketball is going to finish off their season because they stole baseball's bubble idea.
I'm sorry, baseball. Time now for Greg Cody's top 10 best things about making a cemetery great. Number 10, Greg Cody. All right, of course.
Your microphone is muted.
Your microphone is muted, Greg. Yeah. For the love of God, why is it so hard? Greg, why is it so hard to do the show with you? Why can't you do anything right? Why?
Number 10, The Vagabonds. Weird, apparition-like, mysterious people wandering the cemetery.
Number 9.
the quiet, just the respite, the respite from reality. Because when you walk into a cemetery, it's a whole different world, buddy.
Number eight.
The trees, the foliage. This is something you take for granted because everybody's looking at tombstones, but cemeteries are beautifully landscaped.
Greg, there's going to be a sound that's played after you announce every single one of these, okay? Just so you know.
So because you're good at nothing, Greg, just give us one word so he can make the sound, and then you can elaborate all you want after that. That is called radio. That is called timing. Instead, we can't hear half of what you're saying because you're being drowned out by the sound of a ridiculous game show horn. Can you please do this correctly? It's not that hard.
Yes. Continue.
Number seven.
Headstones.
See how easy?
There you wait for it. Now you go.
Headstones and the information they contain. Born, died, maybe a little motto encapsulating the deceased's life.
Number six.
Celebrities.
What?
Ah, yes, of course.
One of my favorite graveyard cities, of course, it goes without saying, is New Orleans. And on my last trip to New Orleans main cemetery, I learned that Nicolas Cage has reserved an elaborate, showy pyramid tomb.
Number five.
Caretakers. Can you imagine working at a cemetery?
Sad job.
I mean, I would love that job.
What?
That next to a garbage man. Seriously, because you know you're enveloping yourself in that whole aura every single day. You know, regaling in the fact that you're not dead yet. I mean, it's just fantastic.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please. Do you think of caretaker at a cemetery as a wonderful job? Number four, Greg Cody.
Squeaky gate. I mean, that's a classic, right? You don't really need elaboration, but let me tell you something. It's not a myth. Cemeteries have gates. Most of them squeak.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Do most cemetery gates a squeak?
These are reasons why it's a good place to go vacation.
That's right. And evidently, he wants to, you know, his next employment career is going to be the caretaker of a cemetery where he will go nearby and shampoo his hair in a local swimming pool.
Very few people, Dan, are involved in everyone's life. There's the doctor that's present when you're born and the caretaker of the cemetery when you're dead.
Yep.
Number three, again, I'm sorry, baseball. Number three.
Dead flowers. I love wandering a cemetery and seeing indications of grave sites long unattended.
All right, stay there, Greg, as we build anticipation for number two and number one. Yes, this is a very big buildup this has become.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
DraftKings, people, despite the league and the union's best efforts, I'm sorry, baseball. So here's the situation. Greg Cody has derailed the show again by just general weirdness. We will continue with his top 10 list of things that make a cemetery great in a second, because we were shocked to learn together that he both visits cemeteries frequently during his vacations and also that he shampoos his hair in the pool, which is just, it's flabbergasting. And it explains why your hair looks like it has been burnt by some sort of strange acid. And it explains just a great deal about the general weathered nature of your hair.
I'm going to back him up on the shampooing in the pool, because at this stage, Greg Cody's pool is only being used by, I'm thinking, by Greg Cody.
His son pees in that pool.
Well,
His granddaughter pees in that pool.
Right. Well, I don't know how many people are going in that pool, but to get a little shampoo, you're in the pool. So when in Rome, and he has a little shampoo right next to the pool, and if you want to get a little added bonus shampoo in between showers, I'm okay with that.
That's why he does it. Yeah. He wants just to have – I want you to think about how disgusting you would find a person if you went to their home, went in their backyard, and there, just by the pool – was shampoo to always be used, because that's where that person shampoos.
But that's my point. Greg Cody is not having pool parties. There aren't too many people coming over to that house in the first place. What does Greg care at this advanced
Again,
age,
grandchild I mean? And son pees in that pool. That's not up for dispute. That's been proven.
So much pee. I pee in it all the time.
The chlorine takes care of the pee. Exactly.
Very good. Thank you for all your help. Before we get to your last two things that make a cemetery great, though, did you have any thoughts on the Washington Post report and the NFL telling Dan Snyder, you investigate it yourself. That'll work.
Yeah, it's sort of weird. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but in this case, I wonder if there was a quid pro quo where, Goodell is telling Snyder, all right, you're going to finally get rid of that Redskins nickname. In exchange for that, we're going to go light with you on this workplace.
Really?
Toxicity.
Really?
Yeah, wow, negotiations.
Wow, you have it being a negotiation for real. Like, that is a conspiracy theory that is really, really poor.
No, I think it's really, really plausible, as a matter of fact, because you know that the NFL probably had word that this was going on. But it is a terrible thing to do. I mean, it should be an independent investigative team into this thing, not one hired by Dan Snyder. It's just
do you understand the distinction I'm making there for why it is and how it is that came to be? The NFL making the distinction on field product, on things that might impact the integrity of the result, we will be iron-fisted. We will do our own investigation. We will trust no one. But as it relates to sexual harassment in the workplace, your problem, not ours. You figure it out. You tell us what you find. And, then we will decide what, if anything, to do. And my guess is they won't do anything, right? Like, what has been the situation with the Mavericks and the NBA, even a more progressive league, a less conservative league? The Mavericks also investigated this way. The league allowed the Mavericks to investigate it with their own team. So isn't that a precedent that Washington, in a league that's more conservative, is following?
It's an easy distinction, an easy rationalization for a league commissioner to make, to put paramount the integrity of the game and the on-field product. But obviously, the more enlightened commissioner would be mindful of what his teams are doing behind the scenes and off the field. You know, this and especially at this time in our history, Me Too movement and all the protests we're seeing and everything for justice and equality and all that stuff. It's the perfect time for the NFL to be proactive with something like workplace toxicity.
I do think you'll see changes, Dan. I don't think you can allow, with something this serious, you can allow teams to police themselves when it comes to this.
The Mavs got the maximum $2.5 million fine and then donated $10 million to women's causes. That would not be penalty enough unless you just sort of want to move away from this and not want people to look at it very closely. Number two, Greg Cody, the second most important thing when it comes to making a cemetery that you visit on your vacation great is the following.
Fresh graves.
What?
Yes, I love the you idea.
Gotta
that,
be.
No, among all the decades old.
You're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN.